We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Something happening on the outbound 219 per a texter asking us to find out what is going on the outbound 219. So perhaps a backup. If anybody knows, you can let us know. We'll pass it along. Maybe be aware that might be an issue for you.
All right, we will check on that as we bring in Sal on our Wester Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Excellent, guys. Good morning to you. And you remember those days back in the day when Jonathan was in school, but they had a week off, so he had to do different things and scramble around?
Yep, fine.
That's what's going on. That's why, like, today I looked and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Howard's at 8, but the tweet said 7:30. But I play. So Max doesn't have school, but he goes somewhere else. So that's all. That normally I'd be like, dude, whatever time you need me. But it just it makes it tougher when you have a 5-year-old and you gotta do those things.
I hear you, man. I lived it, and I don't miss it. And I understand you going through it. And honestly, it's just me forgetting to tell you. But at least
that's okay. Not a big deal. But I'm glad we're able to talk draft a little more.
The good news is you've gotten used to the idea of waking up and checking Twitter to see if what I told you matches up with what I tweeted out when you're coming on the show. So
that is true. That is true. That's what happened this morning. So it's all good. And by the way, I did stay up last night. I watched the whole game. I said, please score in the next few minutes because I do not want to stay up for a second overtime.
Right.
But the good news was I had an excuse too because the Yankees were playing at the exact same time and literally had just won the game 5 minutes before that.
See, that's one of the things, of course, with our hours. Yeah. Staying up for hockey overtimes it's tough. But even if I didn't have these hours, you're right, Sal, like that's how long? Like, and you're that invested in the game. You've watched it for almost four periods. It's like, well, I can't go to bed now. I've got it. What's the outcome? I've been watching this thing all night. I got to stay for however long it takes.
Yeah, it was fantastic. What a fantastic game. I'll just say I have no dog in the fight. I didn't care who won, but I was glad that Vegas tied it up when they did because I thought they got hosed on the call. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have talked about it today.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you go to game seven, you go to overtime. Maybe that's the way it should be anyway, but I did think they got hosed on that 5-minute major.
Sal, I don't like your mock draft, Sal. I'm not happy with it.
Okay.
You need to tear it up.
Because you want a tight end through hell or high water. You want a tight end.
Or offense, even a wide receiver. And you go defense. And I'll tell you what, the first thing that struck me as I was going through your mock draft, and it's at WGR550.com, the way it's falling, and you'll tell everybody who you picked and the side note with it, the way it's falling, that's not falling well from the Bills' perspective.
Well, maybe, unless they really like Christian Wilkins.
Right, and I'm thinking, look at the guys that are all off the Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, Josh Allen, yep. Hockenson, all off the board by the time the Bills are picking.
I tend to agree with you. I did a mock draft for a radio station in Jacksonville yesterday, and it kind of went like that. And Wilkins was off, too. Wilkins actually went eighth in that mock draft. So I wound up going with Jonah Williams at 9 in that particular mock. But you guys know, I said the other day that I think that Christian Wilkins isn't getting enough love and whatever you want to call it here, as far as the Bills possibly wanting him. But, the more I do work on him and the more you look at him and who he is off the field, what he is on the field, I just think he fits. Now, the note I made is I don't really like to do trades in my mocks because it's just so hard to figure out where you're going to go. Are you trading down to 13 or 15 or 17? So I just try to keep everything as straight as possible and try to see, where these guys would go. And I don't think that it's out of the question that they would take Christian Wilkins at 9. But I do think the preferred option would be to trade down because I think the value would be a little bit lower for him. However, again, here was a mock draft I did for a radio station in Jacksonville. And the person, whoever did Detroit, the writer for them, the beat reporter, gave them Christian Wilkins at 8. So obviously there are other people who think that, he's that worthy of the type of pick. And as I wrote, if you look up what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean want in a football player and a human being, you might as well put this guy as the poster child for it.
Yeah, you talked about him yesterday because I know I'd mentioned I hadn't really thought about him that much because I don't think he was being talked that much in terms of, the top 10 defensive linemen that it would go in this draft. So it's an interesting concept. I guess the other thing, too, on your mock draft that surprised me is you went defensive line in the first two rounds. You came back with another defensive lineman and edge guy in round two. So let's talk about that.
I think because, looking at the roster, you know, the way they attacked free agency, and they really added as many parts and pieces as they could around Josh Allen and in front of Josh Allen on the offense. You know, that it seems to me like this draft is going to be more about the defense. Free agency was about the offense. Draft is about the defense. On top of that, you know, that's where the better players are in this draft. It's on the defensive side, and you can still get offensive players later. Now, I only did through pick 40, obviously, but you could still get a pretty good wide receiver, I think, or a good tight end in round three, two picks in round four. You can still address those needs and have guys come in and play behind the guys you sign. You know, in free agency, they sign veteran players on offense. So any rookie you get's going to have to fight for time anyway. I don't think anybody comes in right away and plays over Cole Beasley in the slot, or John Brown, or Robert Foster. Now, and I agree with you. I think that's a spot you could justify someone coming in right away. But even on the offensive line, they signed, like, the guys they signed, Howard, have over 300 games played, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think that you can grab people on the defensive side, like a Wilkins or a Winovich, who we can talk about, who can really come in and be more of a player right away. Maybe not so much on the edge because of the situation they have there on the roster, but certainly in the interior.
All right, so yeah, tell me about, I know he played on a fabulous defense, but tell me about his season or his career in particular.
Well, look, I mean, he has experience. You know, he played, he is an athlete from high school where he played quarterback, he returned kicks. He went to Michigan, this is Winovich we're talking about, by the way, went to Michigan as originally a linebacker, then they moved him to tight end, and then he moved to edge, defensive end, because he is versatile. He could do a lot of things, but it's also because he's his size. He's kind of a tweener. You know, he's about 255, 260 pounds. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. But holy cow, he plays a lot bigger. And what I mean by that, he plays really hard. He plays really fast. He's super physical. Maybe sometimes that gets him a little bit out of control because he's kind of just going and going. And I think at the NFL level, he's going to have to be a little bit more patient on, you know, play action, counter, things like that, not biting. But he can even go against stronger guys, and he's going to beat them a lot of times because he's smart. He has good football IQ because of how he's played the game in different positions. He's very strong. I think that will help him at the next level. But when he gets, if he has to set the edge, a longer lineman might be able to reach him and things like that. He can play with his hand on the ground, which is where he did most of his work at Michigan. But he can also stand up. So I think it's a guy that you can play with a little bit, and then you figure out after 1 year, after you play with him, you get him, you know, and he had production. You know, he had, I think I wrote it yesterday, 30-something sacks in 2 years, the last 2 years at Michigan. But let's say you use him as a situational pass rusher this year, and then once you figure out what you're doing with Shaq and Jerry Hughes and all that, you figure out if he can be a mainstay on the defensive end after that.
I wasn't, as you're describing him, Sal, I wasn't thinking as much about Hughes as I was thinking about Shaq. And as you're talking about Winovich, I'm thinking, is this essentially Shaq's replacement?
Well, they have to figure out what they're doing with that, right? I mean, we have only a couple of weeks here before they decide what they have to do with Shaq Lawson and his fifth-year option. Maybe even about a little over a week, I guess. And, you know, I don't know. I have no idea, but my only guess is they're not going to pick it up. And the reason is they could always still sign him. They can tag him if he has a really good year. They can work out an extension between now and then. You know, I think this regime, the way that they've acted since they've been here, is, hey, you're going to earn everything you get. I don't think they want to guarantee anything to Shaq Lawson right now and say, go out there, young man, and play the best you can, and, you know, things will take care of themselves. So if that's the case, he could be a free agent next year, and they're going to have to find someone to put there. Eddie Yarbrough's not that type of player. Trent Murphy hasn't necessarily stayed healthy, and he's not really the same player anyway. Perfect world, you'd love Trent Murphy to stay healthy and be the player you think that he was and he could be when you signed him. But then you have Jerry Hughes as well, and his contract's expiring. So you could have both those guys, Shaq and Jerry, not on this team in 2020.
Sal with us here on our Western Hotline. His mock draft is up at WGR550.com. You got a question, comment, opinion, want to bring up some draft stuff with Sal? Phone lines are open at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. I'm watching Path to the Draft there, Mr. Capaccio, and Daniel Jeremiah did his mock. And I think your answer is going to be, it kind of goes where your mock was going in terms of how things are falling. I think your answer would be Wilkins. But in his mock, four pass rushers are gone, right? Bosa, Oliver, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, all gone. And also two offensive tackles. I think that's a position the Bills could still address. So Jonah Williams is gone. Juwan Taylor's gone. Bills are up at 9. He takes Hockenson, which I'm very happy with. Would that be also probably a Christian Wilkins scenario for you if four pass rushers and two offensive tackles are gone at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Hockenson there, and I don't discount. I think they could. Who else? Charles Davis. Remember the first time when you guys talked to him, he had Fant,
he liked
right?
Fant, yeah.
Now he's got Hockenson. He's got Hockenson in his latest, if you check. You know, he switched as well. I think a couple of different guys went and redid theirs after the trade with Seattle getting that extra person. And in his latest one, Terrell Davis had Hockenson. So I don't think it's out of the question. And look, I've said it before. I love the idea of Hockenson. I just wonder if this team values tight end at that particular spot, knowing that maybe you might be able to get maybe a lesser tight end, but not too much of a drop off for the position and the value, you know, once you get to the second or third round. So, sure, I could see it, and I think a lot of people have said, you know, that's in play. And again, I'll go back to, if you try to, out of the 22 starting positions on the Bills, there might be one position where there's a starter's job up for grabs, and that is tight end. I really can't think of another spot where, and what I mean up for grabs is not already on the roster. I think the offensive line spots are up for grabs, so to speak, but I think the answer is already on the roster, if you get my point, right?
Yeah.
They're just going to fight it out. I don't know if that's the case at tight end. Is the starting tight end your number one guy who you're going to rely on for mostly, you know, three downs or whatever? Is he on the roster right now? Because I don't see it. It could be Tyler Croft. I don't know.
Yeah,
it could be Jason Kroom. I think you could get him in the draft.
I think, okay, that does lead to a question about Croft. I'm with you, Sal. I don't see it. I think Croft is a nice addition. Now, the guy's had like 60-something catches in 51 career games. So I look at him and say it's a nice add to be in the mix, but not a guy that I would count on. And that's one of the many reasons why I'd like him to see Hockenson. What do you think Croft's role is on this team? What is his ceiling, if you will? Or what do they think?
I think he, as of right now, like if you penciled in a starting lineup, I would put Tyler Croft as your starting tight end. I just think that that's a position they could still find somebody else. If they get a Hockenson or a Fant, that might be a guy who overtakes him, right? Mm-hmm. But right now, I think he's your starting tight end. He's the most complete tight end on the roster. He's the more of a three-down tight end than Jason Kroom would be, or certainly, obviously, Jake Fisher, who's really an offensive lineman that they're going to, you know, try and see what he can do at tight end, who converted last year. But the point is, Tyler Croft would be a guy that he can block pretty well. He's kind of he's a well-rounded tight end. That's what he is. He's a well-rounded tight end, but he certainly doesn't have the ceiling that a guy like Hockenson would have as an all-round tight end, or a guy like Fant would have as a pass-catching tight end. He did have that one monster year with a lot of touchdowns. You could use him in the red zone. He could be a nice third down option when you need third and three, third and four. He creates matchups against DBs. If I penciled in a Bills depth chart right now, I would have Tyler Croft as the starting tight end, but I think that they could still upgrade to another player there, especially if they get one of those guys.
What, in terms of, you were addressing a moment ago, offensive line. Brandon Bean, when he talked to you guys last week, Sal had mentioned they took care of a lot of holes, needs, what have you, through free agency. But there's still areas in terms of depth and things he'd like to address in the draft. They do have the 10 picks going in. What positions do they need to address? When all this, we talk about which guy to get, I know we focus a lot on the first round, but they have nine other picks in the draft. What areas would you like to see him nail in the draft, position-wise?
So when I did my mock last night, I originally did not have Winovich going until I decided to change. And the position I had was corner. Hmm. And I do think it comes down to this. Do you trust E.J. Gaines and Kevin Johnson, and even Taron Johnson to this level, even though he's more of a slot guy, do you trust them all to stay healthy and be the reliable corner you need opposite Tre'Davious White? And I don't know if you can answer yes to that right now, Howard. So I still think they're going to look to address corner with a young guy. And look, Levi Wallace, too. I know he's in the mix. I get it. Someone's got to back up Tre'Davious White. Someone's got to play the slot. Someone's got to start on the other side and back up the other side. But if guys get hurt, Taron Johnson's coming off a shoulder surgery. Kevin Johnson hasn't stayed healthy in his career, even though he's a first-round pick. E.J. Gaines hasn't stayed healthy in his career, even though he plays well when he's on the field. Where am I getting that other guy from? I don't think Levi Wallace is quite physical enough yet and still needs to develop some of his game, even though he played well last year. So I think corner is a kind of a sneaky type of need still for this team, although you hope that it's not a need, if that makes sense, because the other guys do what you think and can stay healthy. Because if they are, if Kevin Johnson and E.J. Gaines stay healthy, I think, wow, like you could have a really, really nice tandem there. So I think that. I think they still need to address a little bit of depth in the offensive line with some younger guys. They signed all these veterans. Who's the young guys? You got Deion Dawkins, you got Wyatt Teller, but tell me who the guys are that you can say that 3 years from now you're developing them and they're your starters, or you have to worry about, are we going to pay these guys because they've developed into, you know, what we think they are. And I think really that's and then of course defensive line. I do think there's a chance that they could find a starter on the defensive line, although it looks like it would be right now Star Lotulelei, Jordan Phillips, you know, Austin Phillips. Those are the guys right there, but you could still use somebody on the defensive line in that rotation.
I've got instant trivia, and I've got some Mel Kiper fun facts for you. What do you want first?
Well, let's do the fun facts and then
fun facts. I found out. Pardon my take pointed this out, and there's a couple other stories about Mel Kiper. He takes cheese off his pizza when
you know,
he orders pizza.
It's funny. I did that when I was a little kid.
You
like I was like
off?
6, 7 years old. I used to actually take the cheese off the pizza. Don't it's really dumb.
He takes cheese off pizza.
But I got
he eats pumpkin pie every day of his life.
Ooh, that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he never gets up to go to the bathroom at any point during the draft.
The draft?
Broadcast.
Really?
He doesn't leave. He doesn't eat or drink during the broadcast in any way.
Wow. Well, he'd have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 5 hours.
As of 2016, the facts get weirder. As of 2016, according to Larry Brown Sports, he had never written a check in his life.
Come on.
And does not have an ATM card.
Okay, that's not possible. That's impossible.
It seems impossible.
Look, in this day and age, I get not writing a check, but 20 years ago, 15 years
right,
ago, how
means,
did he pay anything?
That means you don't write checks and you don't carry cash because you don't go to the ATM for cash.
How'd you
I don't know
bills?
What Mel Kiper does.
How did you?
I don't know.
He's a different cat. I listened to the Adam Schefter podcast yesterday with him and Todd McShay. They had a great podcast. It was really good. And there was some off-the-cuff stories they told, and Mel was telling some. Yeah, he's a little different. He said that the very first draft he did, back in 93 maybe, whenever it was, he got paid $400 to sit on the set of ESPN and do the draft. But they went into the Tobin story, and it was great, you know, talking about the backstory of the whole Tobin deal. And what I found hilarious was, you know, when Bill Tobin said, "Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?" Remember that? Like the famous draft quote on draft day?
They still play the clip
on ESPN.
And then
his daughter was born in 95, Mel Kiper's. And he said later on, she wore a shirt that said, "Who in the hell is Mel Kiper? He's my dad. That's who."
That's funny.
No ATM. No. I couldn't have gotten through college without an ATM card. I mean, right? You're running low on funds. You go to the student union and hit up the ATM. Wow, that's incredible.
Want the instant trivia?
Sure.
All right. I don't think we've done this yet.
Let's do it.
Howard wants the Bills to take TJ Hockenson, which means a tight end in the top 10. That's happened how many times since 1980? A tight end in the top 10.
Sal, you should know this, right? Did you research this for your story? I'm trying to remember.
I did research this recently, Jeremy.
Okay, so
it's very.
Would you like to
look it up? It's in my article. I don't remember. I know. I can take a guess of what it was. Now I remember a few of the names.
Wasn't it like 9 times or something like that?
Five times.
I was going to say 5 or 6.
5 tight ends in the top 10 since 1980.
Vernon Golston.
Yeah, it was.
He was a defensive end.
I mean, obviously Vernon Davis is one of them.
Vernon Davis.
O.J. Howard was outside.
In the top 10, right?
Top 10.
Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yes, indeed. He was number
6.
Yeah,
Eric Ebron was 10th.
Yep.
Oh, was he 10th? I thought he was outside of it. Okay. O.J. Howard was outside, fellas?
Howard, you should remember a guy from the late 90s for the Jets.
Oh, boy. Jets tight end.
It's one of the picks I think of when the tradition of the Jets always boo their pick comes about.
Yes, I agree with you, Jeremy.
This is the guy I think about with the Jets always.
Go ahead, Sal. I'm drawing a complete blank on the guy.
It's Kyle Brady.
Okay, Penn State.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
And then one other. Raiders.
Yeah, I forget that one.
Raiders tight end.
Was it 80s?
It was 1996.
I forget who it was.
Ricky Dudley.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, if you extend this out, what do you think about that group of top 10 tight ends? Davis, good?
Well, look, what I think is, what I wrote about, it's actually funny because this is the point I've been making, like, on the air, which is, can you tell me, like, if any of those guys, Vernon Davis has had a very nice career, okay? But, like, the tight ends you get in this league that turn out to be great, they aren't found in the top 10 usually.
Well, I was going to say, if you extend this to the top 15... Jeremy Shockey shows up, Bubba Franks, and Tony Gonzalez.
Well, obviously
so,
Gonzalez is a Hall
you
of
know,
Famer.
If you take it from the top 10 to the top 15, you get a little bit better of a group. Derek Brown in here, too, for the Giants way back when. But, yeah, how much of an impact can you make? You know, this goes back to 1980. The tight end wasn't quite used the way that it is now.
Right, and how often was he on the field? Even today, sure, if you're looking at a first-round pick, you would say, I'm going to get an offensive tackle who's going to be on the field for 100% of the snaps or a tight end who's on the field for 50% of the snaps, whatever. I get it. I completely understand it. I just don't care. I'm just desperate for a tight end because they've added – Sal, you already know this. They've added receivers. They've brought in running backs. I just don't know that Tyler Kroft is a clear-cut number one tight end. So if I got a shot at getting a guy who can also block, I don't care about what the stats have said for 20, 40 years. So that's where I'm at with that. But.
I understand. Right. I understand. Hey. I mean, and it'd be nice. We don't we haven't had one around these parts in a very long time that you can count on like that.
Listen, you might want to stick around and listen to the next segment because Josh Reed's going to come on and we're going to have him trash you.
Oh, yeah. Josh is good at that. He's okay. Good at that.
Let's see if we can get some good
dirt. But he better not talk trash about golf because, you know, we have some battles, but he can talk trash if he wants, but that just means I'll have to whip him next time we're out there.
I'm looking for dirt from road trips, so I'm going to see if he'll spill the guts on you on some stuff. Thank you, Sal.
All right. Thanks,
we'll guys. See you in studio tomorrow at 7, right? I'll just make sure I got this right. Yeah, 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow in studio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.